What's going on, Suns fans? Justin here, and with me, as always, is my podcasting partner, Paul.
Why so serious?
And welcome to the Fanning the Flames podcast, everyone's favorite Phoenix Suns podcast made for the fans, for you guys.
By the fans.
Damn it, I messed that up.
Us.
Wait, what?
Hold on. I recovered.
Did you recover it? Okay. What happened? I just blacked out.
I recovered. It's good.
Made by the fans. Made for the fans by the fans. There. That's why we changed the name, because I couldn't say it right. Is that it, Paul? You were looking out for me. Appreciate it.
I'm always looking out for you.
At any rate, as always, intro, outro music brought to us.
But I'm looking out.
Brought to you by Oceans Over Airplanes, a great band out of Indiana. So you guys should check them out. But on to Sun stuff. Let's just go ahead. I'll put that little snafu behind me. Pretend it didn't happen. It's not forever on the internet. That's cool. So this week we got a few different topics we're going to hit on.
We couldn't just stop and redo it.
No. I tried. You gave me a look. So good on you, Paul. Good on you.
Well, because I had saved it and you just didn't realize it.
You just wanted to get your save in and keep it out there. That's fair. Okay. Topics. This week we're gonna get into Ryan McDonough coming out this week and talking about how the Suns are gonna accelerate the timeline a little bit and be aggressive in free agency this season. The fast forward button, hitting that. We're gonna talk about Point Booker. It was Point Bender last summer. Now it's Point Booker. And
don't forget Point Amari.
Point Amari. Point whoever. whoever plays the point, just go for it. If you can do it well, do it. And then if there's some time...
Probably not going to be Point Chris.
Not Point Chris. If there's going to be some time at the end, Paul might give you his opinion on those beautiful purple Los Suns jerseys.
Purple on top of purple on top of purple.
A lot of purple. A lot of different shades of purple.
Purple.
50 shades of purple. So, but first, Paul.
First.
I'm gonna.
You're going to rant?
I'm going to go into Enes Kanter just for a couple minutes.
All right.
Maybe not even that much.
All right. I may have to pull your mic.
If we did this like 4 days ago, I would have been on for like half an hour. I've calmed down some. So if you watch that Knicks game, Booker and Enes Kanter got into a little tiff. Booker ends up getting ejected. It was ejected because it was the second tee of the game, but still ended up getting ejected. And then Kanter decides to hop on social media like every genius does out there, myself included. And share his not so pleasant thoughts about Devin Booker, which spiraled into some not so pleasant thoughts about Jared Dudley.
Who has unpleasant thoughts about Jared Dudley?
I know, right? Nobody. Except for last year when he didn't dunk at all. Like, at all. Come on. One.
Hey,
give me one.
I'm happy about that one.
Give me one. But he hopped on Twitter and posted a picture of Booker with his arms up, and I'm assuming Kanter did it, maybe, I don't know, but there is a photoshopped L in there, and Kanter said something to the effect of, you know, keep holding up that L, boy, or whatever the heck he said. First of all, Kanter has no room to speak right off the bat because he got up in Booker's face after he blocked a shot, or I don't even remember, a foul called on it. Booker gave him a little shove away. Seems completely fair to me. It's not like Booker aggressively shoved him. He just kind of said, please,
give him a space.
Please, get out of my face. I do not want to speak to you right now. That ended up costing Booker the rest of that game because I got ejected. But let's just say, Enes Kanter, it's not like you come from this long history of winning. When you were in OKC and you were carried by KD and Russ 1 year and then Russ another year. What?
Don't forget Utah.
I know. Don't worry.
You're going.
You had some wins there. But it's not like the... 5 years or whatever he spent in Utah were exactly, littered with great winning seasons. It's not like his time with the Knicks is proving to be this huge breakthrough where the Knicks are suddenly, you know, contender in the East. So as far as winning and losing goes, just shut up, dude. Yeah. Like, if you don't have somebody carrying your ass, you're not winning any games then either. Second of all, Jared Dudley? Jared Dudley comes in, defends Booker, and then Kanter comes in and calls him, you know, says something about hop on the treadmill, calling Jared Dudley fat. Has Jared Dudley put on a few pounds over his NBA career? Yes. But he's also one of the most respected players in the NBA. For everything I've heard, players love him. The media even loves him. Fans love him. Coaches love him. There's nothing to not love about Jared Dudley.
The cornrows.
And I love the cornrows. You know what? Dudley, you be you, man. If you like the cornrows, you rock those. He wants to bring them back, bring them back. I don't care. And the thing for me too is like talking about Dudley's appearance coming from a guy who looks like he's probably not allowed within 1,000 feet of a school. You know what I mean? Like Cantor has that little like don't leave your kids alone with him kind of look going.
He probably owns a van.
Definitely owns a van. No windows for sure.
For sure.
Probably doesn't have license plate, you know, because.
Or it's a license plate of a Nissan Sentra.
Yes, it's a stolen license plate. So he can kind of back off of the whole what somebody looks like thing. Not only does he look like he shouldn't be allowed within like 1,000 feet of a school, but I feel like he also kind of has this, like, he looks kind of like Bert. Bert and Ernie, you know what I mean?
I just like, saw Bert tonight.
Like where? Like in your neighborhood?
No, I was there's this, have you heard of this?
Were you Googling Enos Cantor?
No, and I was not. Have you ever played, have you heard of this game HQ?
No.
You should, it's fun. But it's this trivia game and it's like a live video thing. And
I know what you're talking about.
Bert was a guest host tonight.
Oh.
Like, so it was a very like coincidence.
So Bert is also more relevant than Enos Cantor is what you're saying.
In this 24-hour period, yes.
Beautiful. So
to the Suns, maybe. There's some cross-marketing there.
Yeah, and then Enos Kanter hops on Twitter that night, too. And that was the same night that Boogie tore his Achilles.
Yeah.
And he's like, get well soon or whatever. I'm sorry, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say, like, DeMarcus Cousins has no idea who Enos Kanter is. Like, he probably checked his timeline. He's like, who? I don't think they played together. Is that what you're getting? Well, they were both... Cantor was recruited to Kentucky, never played at Kentucky.
Oh, never actually
so played perhaps
there.
There's some connection there. But even if there was a connection there, I'm pretty sure Boogie Cousins has forgotten who he is.
Right.
I'm going to throw it out there. So I'm done. That's it. That's it.
Okay.
See, that was quick and easy, right?
Quick and easy.
Quick and easy. So done with Cantor. But while we're on topic of the Suns and Knicks, that was also the first game officially, right, where we saw Point Book.
Yeah, at least the first start.
Right.
Point Book starter.
Right. So there's been a lot of talk out there about whether the Suns should just let Booker start at point guard for the remainder of the year, see what he can do at point guard, or, you know, the flip side of that is let things keep going as they're going and solve the point guard problem. It is a problem.
Yeah.
As time allows. Paul, what do you think?
I mean... I'm fine with leaving it as it is for the moment. See what happens at the trade deadline. I mean, there's possibilities. There's some point guard options out there that the Suns could possibly take advantage of to that can at least stabilize the position at least through the end of the year. I mean, clearly Tyler Ulis was unfortunately put in a position to fail. He's not a starter in this league. He doesn't have the je ne sais quoi that even like Isaiah Thomas had, that he was allowed him to overcome those height disadvantages when he was, you know, putting up points all over the place. I mean, to be honest, Isaiah Thomas until last year really wasn't a starter ever in the league either.
Mm-hmm.
So that height issue really is really affecting Tyler Ulis. And I mean, a lot of it's also he's so skinny. He just doesn't have the weight to like really that Thomas has to really, you know, push against those bigger guards and just really be able to get that space. He just gets overwhelmed. And then, I mean, Isaiah Cannon, he's a backup. I mean, that's what he is. I mean, I'm kind of surprised they didn't try starting Cannon for a few games, because clearly Cannon was running that second unit really well. He was moving the ball, which is something that they really needed. So would have been interesting to see Cannon get starters minutes, actually play with the starting unit, see what that would do. But at the same time, I mean, clearly Booker has improved from that with regards to court vision, things like that. And I mean, James Harden's a model. Might as well give it a try, see if you've got something similar there that you can work with. And going into a free agency period where the point guard options that are out there aren't really what the Suns need, exploring other out of the box options isn't a bad move. I mean, the way the season's going, they've got what, like the fifth hardest schedule rest of the year or something like that. You know, all that hope we had in that first half of the season when they were playing pretty well, had a couple little streaks there, you know, like winning 4 out of 6, whatnot. That's probably going to happen.
That's gone.
Going forward.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we may get a little spurt here or there, but it's just gone. And it really is going to be one of those where we're going to be getting one of those top 6-7 picks pretty easily, I think. And there's more big guys in that draft. So looking to shore up that backcourt in another way is really what they need to do. And figure out what they really, really, truly have with Booker.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And I've kind of gone back and forth in my opinion on this whole thing. You know, on one side, I say kind of what you're saying, and that is, let's see what Booker can do. Why not? Mm-hmm. See if he can kind of be that Harden-esque type guy that can be the ball controller, bringing the ball up, initiating the offense, and at the same time still produce scoring-wise like he's capable of doing. On the flip side, I look at it and say, excuse me, he's already developing into one of the better shooting guards in the league. There's no reason at this point for us to think he's not going to continue developing at shooting guard. And is having him kind of play that hybrid type role or have him play a point guard role going to give us the best Devin Booker that the Suns can have for the duration of his career, or his time with the Suns, hopefully is his whole career. Is it going to basically, you know, turn him into? I think Devin Booker has the capability of being a great point guard.
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to meet the same level that he could be if he was just primarily, you know, a playmaking two? Right. So for those who are kind of indifferent, if they want to do it this year, then, you know, fine.
Right.
I don't know that I want to. I don't know that I want them to do it long term. Yeah, and I think it kind of depends on what they come out of with this draft.
Right.
Because, I mean, we've talked about it before. The name that gets thrown around a lot, obviously, is the top five pick now, especially, is Trae Young. And if he's the type of guy, if the Suns are able to get him and he can perform like he has performed in college, averaging, you know, 30 points. Well, he probably won't average 30 points in the NBA, but who knows? But if he averages, you know, 20 and 8, 20 and 9, 25 and 9, whatever, in the NBA, then obviously Booker doesn't need to play point guard.
Right.
But if he's not there and they end up going with a big, then, you know, then you still have that point guard problem that you need to get figured out. Although, like I said before we started recording, I'm so high on DeAndre Ayton. If they can get him, they can leave Tyler Ulis in there at point guard for all I care. I think they're still going to have a great nucleus. That's a bit hyperbole right there. I don't want them to leave Tyler Ulis, but I'm just saying.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I kind of look at it from the standpoint of, you know, we're moving into this era. Everybody talks about we're moving into this era of positionless basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than pigeonholing Booker as a shooting guard, you know, give him that opportunity to expand those skills. So, I mean, yeah, maybe he is going to play the two. Maybe that's kind of where he's going to be. There's going to be a guy who's smaller than him on the court. There's going to be a guy who's bigger than him on the court on the wing. And he kind of plays the two, but he also can run the show mm-hmm. if he needs to.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, the more distributors you have on the floor, the more a ball moves. And we all know that, like, really, the more a ball moves, the better teams play.
Right.
When you really get into that ISO ball, it just... the game slogs down and it's not a successful way to play ball anymore. But I mean, you start looking back at history. I mean, there's been a lot of teams that have had a star shooting guard, offensive shooting guard. And, you know, the point guard position was just kind of like, you know, a guy who could hit threes, play some defense, is able to bring up the ball if need be and initiate the offense. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm thinking, you know, who was Michael Jordan's point guard? Steve Kerr. I mean, who was Kobe Bryant's point guard?
B.J. Armstrong?
Sure.
Well, he was.
You don't know. I mean, it's just a name that's like nobody cares who the point guard was because he wasn't a focal point in the team and they won a lot. You know, you go going into Kobe Bryant, you had Derek Fisher. I mean, yeah, Derek Fisher had a great career, but he was a role player.
Mm-hmm.
He played a role. And then, you know, you move into like this next generation with like James Harden. I mean, yeah, now he's got Chris Paul, but I mean, for years it was Patrick Beverley. Mm-hmm. It was a guy who could hit a spot up three, played some good defense, you know, particularly with a guy like James Harden who didn't play defense, and, you know, could initiate the offense if necessary. So maybe that's kind of what we're looking for, at least in the next phase, where, you know, if we've got a guy who can, you know, initiate the offense occasionally, he's not just like, he's not Marcus Smart.
Right.
I mean, I really don't, I know some people are high on Marcus Smart, but all he is defense. I mean, I'm very happy for the idea of having a defensive point guard who can take on whoever the other team's best guard is. Great. But when he's a net zero on offense, mm-hmm. we can't have that. But so, you know, we get somebody who can be at that point guard position. We've got, you know, Josh Jackson ends up taking over the small forward position, and we start seeing that court vision that he showed at Kansas kind of come up in the start to appear more so in the NBA. You know, then we've got some distributors there. I don't know if Bender ever turns that corner, then he's another distributor. So you got a whole bunch of distributors on the court. That's all. That's what we want.
Right.
That's what I want. That's fun basketball to watch.
Right, and I think that's kind of where, I mean, if, in my estimation, maybe the Suns are trying to go with what they've been doing over the past couple of seasons and where they see the timeline going, and that is that positionless basketball. You've got a bunch of guys on the court at one given time that can distribute the ball, so the whole concept of a point guard, quote-unquote, as we've seen it over the years, kind of starts fading away. And I guess, you know, when I look at this and think, do I want Devin Booker playing point guard for the rest of the year? One of the reasons I'm kind of indifferent to it is because part of it is, sure, if that means that, you know, the transition, the progression that they're looking to make is into this court full of, you know, potential distributors. Because again, if we've talked about this in the past, if you can take this concept of your traditional point guard and kind of spread that capability, those types of abilities amongst a few different players that are right on the court at any given time, and the Captain America theory here, their powers combined, they give you exactly what you would expect to get out of a quote-unquote traditional point guard.
Right.
I'm all for that. And I mean, we've talked about this in the past too. I keep saying that. We talk about stuff in the past and then do it again in the present.
And unfortunately, as a Suns fan, there's only so many topics that are interesting
right,
to talk
exactly.
about right now.
So, you know,
just find a new angle.
To look to the draft, you know, you brought up Doncic at one of the first podcasts we did this season. And if he can fill the role of being, you know, another guy that, well, he could split time in the front court, back court, whatever, you know, one, two, three, four, whatever. But if he has the capability of being a solid distributor, then pair him with Booker, then there's the distribution, there's the ball handling, there's the vision that you need. And like you said, if Jackson shows some of that playmaking ability he showed at Kansas, if Bender turns the corner, then great. They're starting to progress towards that concept. And
right.
Again, I think that in looking at the players that they've been bringing in through the past couple of drafts, that perhaps is exactly where McDonough, you know, sees this team going. And I'm all for it. Like I said, the point guard position is a problem right now. There's not necessarily one solution to it. It's not necessarily bring in a point guard that's going to be a point guard. It's a matter of figuring out how you can put five guys on the court at one given time. And regardless of what you might classify them as or what ESPN might classify them as, know that they have collectively the ability to run the offense. The offense is going to run efficiently. Then that's certainly going to satisfy me as a Suns fan. So leading into then, you know, we're talking about the whole needing to fix the point guard position. McDonough this week came out and discussed how, you know, he's hitting that fast forward button on the timeline. They're going to be more aggressive in free agency this year than perhaps we had anticipated originally.
Is McDonough actually hitting the fast forward button, or is he not hitting the pause button on the speed we're actually moving? He's really basically saying that Booker did fast forward. Mm-hmm. And now he's got to play catch up, so he's not behind. He's not really hitting fast forward on the timeline. The timeline fast forward.
Just using your words, buddy. You said fast forward earlier, so.
All right.
But I see the point you're making. I don't think the pause button thing is the right way of putting
it. Maybe not pause, but
the timeline's accelerated,
right,
based on Booker's faster than expected development. Fair. So heading into free agency, then the first name that I've seen floated out there by anybody with, you know,
clout,
credibility, high level of credibility, was floated and access. Yeah. Was floated by, I think those kind of go hand in hand, was floated by Gambo today, where he said the Suns are going to be making a, you know, a hard push, for Avery, the newly traded Avery Bradley, during this year's, free agency period. Paul, thoughts on Avery Bradley? I mean, I think that's along the lines of what you were talking about, having, you know, a second backcourt guy who's a defensive playmaker who has the ability to, you know, hit shots when needed, et cetera.
And initiate the offense if necessary. Yep.
And, you know, so thoughts on him? Thoughts on anyone else in free agency, perhaps, that you would like to see the Suns target? And I think caveat this discussion by saying I think a lot of this depends on exactly who the Suns get in the draft.
Right.
Because you've got a few backcourt options in the free agent market this coming season, but it's also really heavy on guys that play the five.
Right.
So now that caveat is done, Paul, go on.
I do like the idea of Avery Bradley. I think a lot of it comes down to, is this season a blip, or is this, like, because he hasn't played that great for Detroit. I mean, we'll see what happens now that he's on the Clippers. You know, different team, different situation, different asks of what they want him to do. So we'll see if he kind of becomes more of what he was at Boston, or was that really just a factor of Brad Stevens just really maximizing him? Because apparently that's what Brad Stevens is able to do, is just really maximize the positives and hide the weaknesses of his players. So we'll see what Avery Bradley is. I'm actually kind of looking forward to kind of seeing how that goes. But he does kind of fit that mold of what we were talking about of, you know, a guy who he can hit some shots, and he was averaging, what, 15, 16 points this season?
Yeah, 15 points.
You know, a couple assists, and, I mean, he has a reputation for defense. So if that reputation doesn't just precede him, but actually he can back it up, you know, that fits what we need of, again, if and when Josh Jackson moves into that starting lineup, you know, you have that the defender at the three spot, and you have a defender at the point guard spot to surround and hide Booker a little bit, to kind of cover his defensive weaknesses, which is, you know, that's the concern with, you know, some of the backcourt guys who are in the draft right now. I know, like, Trae Young's defense is abysmal, and what I've seen, like, statistically, Luka Doncic's defense isn't great. I mean, it's better than Trae Young's, but I mean, it's not like he's a stellar defender as well. He's much more of an offensive player. So, you know, one of those options could be what the Suns are looking for, but as you said, Justin, it kind of really depends on what we luck into with the draft. You know, we're still drafting for best player available, and luckily this draft is very top heavy with players that fit our two holes.
Mm-hmm.
So we can take, I mean, except for Michael Porter Jr. Except for him, they're either point guards or bigs, and they'll fit right in with what we need. So go that route. Get the best player available. Get the player we want. I'd be happy with most of them, and then use free agency to fill that in. I mean, other options that I'd be interested in looking at if we do go the point guard route in the draft is obviously Clint Capella. You know, I mean, if the Rockets are serious of potentially making a run at LeBron, that he's kind of got to be the sacrifice, I think. Because I think that they'd have to renounce his bird rights to even come close to being able to fit LeBron in as a free agent, unless they do something crazy with like a sign and trade for like Ryan Anderson or something. Which, do you really think Dan Gilbert's going to go for that? So, I mean, unless they do that now.
Right. Yeah, at least get something back for him. And you know, one thing that, and maybe I'm reading into Gambo coming out and talking about Avery Bradley too much, but you know, the fact that that's the first name that, at least that I've heard, that's been floated, and it seemingly, presumably, comes from somewhere within the Suns. I mean, that would indicate to me that maybe when, you know, the Suns are sitting in their little war room and thinking about what's going to happen with this draft, they're thinking they're going to end up with one of, you know, the big men that are going to be on the board, which, again, I'm totally fine with. DeAndre Ayton, yes, please. Have I said that yet tonight? Yeah, I have, right? Yeah, yeah.
You know.
I mean, that's going to be a recurring, local guy, recurring, you know, theme. Yeah. Recurring theme. It doesn't hurt that he's a Wildcat either. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, if they get a big in the draft, then certainly looking at a Avery Bradley makes a lot of sense. And then, you know, even if they go with a point guard, I mean, you've got quite a number of options like we were talking about. You know, aside from Capella, DeAndre Jordan is going to be out there if you're looking for a guy like that.
Yeah, the only reason I suggest Capella is he is on the timeline.
Sure.
Closer. I mean, DeAndre Jordan could be a really good fit. I mean, I obviously probably have to move Chandler at that point. But, you know, he is basically the next generation Chandler, a guy who, you know, defends, rebounds, blocks shots, and gets points off of, you know, being around the basket.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I wouldn't hate having DeAndre Jordan on the team. I mean, it's possible. I don't know if I'd trade for him. I mean, outside of that's the only way Suns can get guys in the building. And like get him in the building, and then he can convince.
Well, they tried to get Blake Griffin in the building, and now he's going to spend the next couple of years in Detroit. So
yeah, I wonder if he's regretting that.
Not that I'm unhappy about that, because I wasn't interested in him anyway.
I know you weren't. I've always been a fan of Blake.
Good for you.
And I think the Suns training staff could have done a lot for him.
The only good thing that happened to Blake Griffin, I feel like, in the past week or so, is Enes Kanter has taken his spot amongst the top fake tough guys in the NBA on Justin's list. So Justin's list. For what that's worth to either one of those guys.
Neither of those guys are on your like the dark alley list.
What, I don't know what. Oh, like who I would want backing me up in a dark alley.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not saying they're not, because they're both still huge and I'm not a very big guy, but they wouldn't be at the top of that dark alley list. And No. And they certainly wouldn't be the top NBA players on that list. PJ Tucker would probably be mine.
He'd be up there. And, Tucker, and Patrick Beverly.
And I would say even outside of the NBA, they wouldn't make the top list of mine. So no, to answer your question in a simple way, Paul, no, they would not make the top of that list. Just lost my train of thought. What were we talking about? Oh, free agency.
Free agency. Any other thought? Any other? To be honest, I'm not super impressed with this free agency class. I'd much rather try to do something with trades.
Yeah, and you look at it too. I don't blame you for that, because I mean, outside of some of the bigs in the free agency class, mm-hmm. when you start looking at the backcourt options, you know, Isaiah Thomas, anyone? No, thanks. You've got guys that either don't match timeline or going to, you know, in all likelihood, re-sign or are restricted or whatever the case might be. So that obviously limits the options, which is why Avery Bradley makes perfect sense when you're thinking about the first person that gets named, because he's going to be unrestricted. He's
been on successful teams.
He's been on successful teams at, 27 or so, something like that?
Yeah, he's not that old.
So that name makes a lot of sense and is probably really one of the more realistic options in terms of backcourt guys that are going to be free agents. But again, I think it's going to be very dependent on what happens in the draft. And with this being a heavy draft for bigs, and with, you know, the limited availability of some of the you know, backcourt guys in the free agent class, again, going big and then targeting a guy like Avery Bradley seems like a very logical plan, and I think a plan that is going to, you know, certainly benefit the Suns. Again, give me DeAndre Ayton and I'm happy as a pig in shit at that point, Paul. I'll tell you that much. Any other thoughts?
Was it your buddy? What was the thing your buddy said the other day, or is that what it was?
Oh no, he said. Oh yeah. This will be a good poll or something. Maybe I'll put this on a poll on the Twitter handle at FanTheFlamesNBA, just for the record. He said, even a blind pig finds a trough sometimes, which like I was befuddled by that comment. Like, okay, I've heard even a blind squirrel finds a nut, but a blind pig finding a trough is something I've literally never heard in my life. And we were out, I was out in LA, and we were out at a bar when he said that, and we like started asking just random people, and not one of them ever heard either. And he spent some of his time growing up in Midwest, and he's like, maybe it's a Midwest thing. Well, I immediately texted my buddy who lives in Omaha and has lived there his whole life, and he's like, nope, never heard it. So if you've heard it out there, tell us in the comments, because I want to find somebody else that has heard this. Now, I'm not saying it doesn't make sense. I'm just saying I have never heard that used as an expression in my 35 years on this planet.
Neither have I. And
that's
I've lived 70, in many,
that's 70 years right there.
And I've actually lived in many parts of the country, including places where people had pigs and troughs and things like that.
There you go. And even they didn't say it.
Nope. And Texas is weird.
Yeah, that's true. Not as weird as Minnesota. Duck, duck.
Gray duck.
Gray duck. Weirdos up there. Okay. So what about Paul? Since we've got a little time here, I'd say, yeah, why not? Los Suns jerseys. Fill us in, Paul. You're the fashion aficionado. He's not really, but...
No, I'm not.
I'll say he is now.
I think they left... To be honest, I think they left a lot to be desired.
Could have thrown a little more purple in there. Sorry.
You know, we needed like 7 more shades of purple. But actually, I think it's... On court, the Knicks were probably not the best team to debut these jerseys.
Better than the Kings.
Maybe.
It's like literally the same colors as the Kings. Go on, though. Finish your thought.
My thought is the Knicks home court uniforms their white and orange uniforms look a lot like our white and orange uniforms. I was watching that Knicks game, or that Suns Knicks game, and there were a couple times where I saw a Knicks score a basket, and like almost cheered because I had to catch myself. I'm like, oh yeah, that's not the Suns playing in their white and orange uniforms on the Suns court against a team that I don't recognize the jerseys of.
It's kind of like my Isaiah Cannon wearing number 2 and me thinking that's still Eric Bledsoe sometimes.
Yeah.
Similar.
Exactly. So, I mean, you know, if they had debuted against, you know, say the Bucks or a team that has a very different color palette than the Suns, you know, just kind of to get us used to it a little bit.
Ease us into it,
not create this mess with your head kind of thing.
Fair enough. I assume they're not going to use those like all that regularly, though, right?
They'll get them a couple times.
Did you see the Miami ones, though?
Those things are sweet.
Sick. Well
those
done.
Are some good
well
ones.
Done, Miami. I feel like the Suns should have just busted out similar to the early 90s All-Star uniforms that they have there in Phoenix with the cacti on it.
Honestly, what I was thinking would have been interesting is if instead of that weird constellation that we don't even get to see, because I think it's on the other side of the world.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
On the back of the jersey, there's a constellation.
Okay.
Like it's like a 5-star constellation. It's like a diamond with like a stick, and it's supposed to be like the constellation of the Phoenix. Or something like that.
That's digging deep right there by the designers.
It is. But I feel like they could have done something with maybe make that back more of like, you know, a Latin pattern. Like something to evoke the, you know, the Mexican and Latin heritage that we have here in Phoenix. You know, there's all kinds of, you know, various like kind of graffiti types and things like that that have a lot of Mexican influence, that it would have been kind of cool. You have the solid front jersey, and then the back is this like really cool like pattern that could have been something interesting there. I think they might have tried something like that with like one of the black Los Suns jerseys a couple years back.
Okay.
And I think that could have looked cool in the purple.
Okay.
Something like that would have been interesting because they went so minimalist, where when you had all these options to do all kinds of stuff, and they were like, okay, here's 14 different purples and a weird constellation that nobody knows.
Right.
And that's it. There was definitely more that could have been done with the jersey to kind of make it pop. I mean, they didn't have to... We don't get to do Miami Vice, but right. We could have done Hey Dude.
Oh, there you go. A little horseshoe on there. A little horseshoe. Too Spursy, maybe. But still, you know, I'd be down for that. Or I guess more Colts than Spurs, even. Different sport. We could have done, I don't know, some old people driving really slowly in a
vehicle.
Like, you know, we got like the Raising Arizona. That's a
Route 66.
See that there. I like that, Paul. Route 66. That's often, very oftentimes associated with Arizona, or maybe like the Grand Canyon, like some sort of like subtle image of the Grand Canyon. I don't know, but I guess that would kind of take away from the whole, you know, Hispanic heritage and culture thing they were going for, as would Raising Arizona and
Route 66. And hey dude, probably really bad.
old people driving, you know, those snowbirds coming in.
But I mean, there's so much Latin culture here that they call it Los Sons, and like it doesn't evoke to me Latin culture at all. And that's what they were trying to go for. The only thing that evokes Latin culture is Los Sons.
And I feel like the Los Sons aspect of too is kind of like almost like a cop out, because they've done the Los thing with a lot of other teams too. You know what I mean? So it's,
or the L Heat.
Like they did that, like not with the Miami Vice jerseys, but with exactly. Yeah. So I mean, it's kind of like, okay, you're taking a concept that you used universally, maybe not universally, but with a lot of other teams in the league, and just saying, okay, now that's the Suns because we've got nothing better to come up with. I don't know. Who designs these things anyway? So just Nike? Do they just do it now? Like, they come up with the stuff?
I feel like Robert Sarver
should probably bring us in on, like, some sort of panel. You know?
There are many times that just, you know, just have a panel. Somebody will point out that there's a dick thing that nobody noticed.
Are you talking about that? What are you talking about? Really quick, I just wanted. Was this somewhere? Like
the one that pops to my mind right now is you don't pay attention to Marvel Comics movies, but they released an image of the Ant-Man sequel.
Okay.
And it's Ant-Man and the Wasp, and there's clearly an upside down penis on the Wasp's uniform.
Interesting. It's very interesting. Well, you know, the reason I asked you what you were talking about is because one time I was. This has to be, I don't know, 6 years ago, I was buying a hat at a Diamondbacks game. And I was wearing an older hat that I had that was probably came out when they first changed their colors and logos and stuff. And it was a spring training hat that had like the DB together that formed like a snakehead type thing.
Right.
And the guy that was working the store goes, oh, you have one of those hats. And I'm like, yeah. He goes, haven't you noticed they stopped selling hats that have that exact design? I go, looked around. I'm like, oh yeah, I guess they have. He goes, yeah, they got complaints saying it looked too phallic because you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's, I wasn't sure if you were referring to that or not, which is why I asked. Obviously we're not. You came up with a more, you know, time-relevant example, but kudos to you for giving me a little education on Marvel Comics here tonight. So, all right, Paul, well, we've hit the topics. I don't care about the Los Suns jerseys really that much. I mean, I'm just... Apparently this is Justin's episode
like
of indifference, because I was kind of indifferent to that as well.
I do legitimately like the hat that has that. That's the all purples hat. Because honestly, orange doesn't look good on me, even though I'm wearing an orange shirt as we speak.
I don't wear the shirt in public.
No comment. The purple hat, I do really like that one and legitimately might buy it.
I'm excited. We'll fill you in next time as to whether or not Paul bought the hat. I would love them to just go back to, yeah, I know they have the throwback this year with one of the home jerseys, but I think those pre US Airways, America West Arena, whatever you want to call it, before the Suns got Barkley and changed their logos and everything the first time around, I think those uniforms, those jerseys are the best ones they've had. At least personally, they're my favorite. So on that note, Paul, we've hit our topics. I've explained my multiple levels of indifference right now, which maybe makes sense as a Suns fan, right? The way things have been going, just indifferent. Anything else, my friend?
No, not really.
Nope, that'll cover it. All right. Well, as always, everyone, thank you very much for listening. You can catch me on Twitter at SoSaysJ and Paul
at Dervish of World.
And of course, the new Twitter handle, new-ish, at FanTheFlamesNBA. Give us a follow there. send us tweets there. We're still trying to figure out how to use that.
Like,
why I don't know why we even have that still, Paul. But go, whatever.
Burner accounts.
Hey, that's all you, man. and until next time, as always, thank you for listening. And depending on when you're listening, have a good morning, good afternoon, or good evening.
Where does he get those wonderful toys? Just wanna use it.